Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Hello there. Welcome to the Simcast, your weekly source of sim racing news, but it's mostly us going off topic for minutes on end and trying to remember how did we get here, which is what I felt whenever I was listening to back to the show last week with Matt and Jordan, much like everyone else, and was trying to figure out, because I can't remember now, how we got Thomas the Tank Engine combined with Sauron from the Lord of the Rings. Not quite sure how that happened still. but it is US week, so of course you gotta deal with myself, Mr. Benjamin Williams, and he did not blow away, thankfully, this week, Mr. Louis Satterley.
Hello!
Hello. How's your week been?
Stressful for personal reasons, I'll say, starting on the long weekend that we had, but I mean, it's slowly been getting better. The tropical storm blew through yesterday, and it's just riding the tide, man. Riding the tide.
Riding the tide?
Yep, riding the tide. Got gliding the stride, riding the tide.
Riding, yes. I've been sweating mostly up here.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I'm in that part of, I'm not fully in the part of the U.S. that is, like, melting right now. But
right.
It's not cool in Pennsylvania, either.
It's unfortunate. Well, the downside to a tropical storm or a hurricane, if anybody has never experienced one, is usually the days after, all the moisture is soaked out of the air, and it's usually very hot and very still. So there's, like, no clouds in the sky, just constant sun beating down on you, and it just gets very hot with no air movement whatsoever, and it usually lasts for about 2 or 3 days afterwards, so it just makes going outside absolutely miserable.
Yeah. It's not necessarily a dry heat.
No, the humidity is definitely there. I mean, like, actually right now, because the storm, we're on the south side of the storm, or yesterday we were on the south side of the storm, and basically whenever I woke up, the humidity was at 85%. At dinner time, it was around 60, which is a significant decrease.
Yeah.
And that was just over the span of roughly about 12 hours.
Oh.
So, and that was all throughout the day, actually. So it's not typical of Florida to have the humidity go down. Yeah. But, a little bit brighter sky today and a bit hotter, and then the humidity is just going to continue to climb with no air movement whatsoever, and it's going to be miserable.
Yeah.
So, thankfully, it's not in August yet. So.
Yeah. Yeah, even up here, it's just been like, if the humidity was much lower, I'd be much happier. But
right.
It's like, the heat index with the humidity, it's like getting close to, if not over 100 in some places.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's also Pennsylvania, so it's like...
Yeah, you're inland a little bit, too, as well, so that...
Yeah, but it's Pennsylvania...
That plays in a huge factor.
Yeah, it's Pennsylvania, so it's like 90, 90, 70, 90, 90, 60, 90, 90, 90. Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Speaking of tangents, by the way.
Yes. Speaking of tangents. yes, this is the Simcast radio show, where we do occasionally talk about sim racing news. You can follow us on Twitter at Simcast Radio, using the hashtag SimcastRSL to tell us what you're thinking about. And, of course, all four of us here at the show are members of the Midweek Motorsports Listeners Collective.
Yes.
This is episode 25, by the way. I forgot to say that.
Is it really?
So, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Again, we're back on the odd numbers. I still don't know how the heck we
Yeah,
did
we're
that.
Still on the odd numbers now.
That's right. A couple weeks ago, we were on the even numbers, and then we're back on the odd numbers for real again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Strange that.
Well, specifically, I blame Matt's PC.
Mass PC. Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's how we got onto the even numbers to begin with, and now we're back onto odds.
Yeah, Matt had a PC breakdown. That was like episode like 13 or 14 now.
Yeah, it was very early on.
Yeah, so yeah, we're
you know what? This is episode 25. That means we're halfway through the year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And my chair is doing this weird thing again. I'm sitting in it, and it's automatically lowering itself. So well, I go from being at eye level with my screen to all of a sudden looking up at it, wondering why the heck am I looking up more and more?
Yeah. As Louis slowly descends into madness.
Oh, we're up.
Okay. First off in the show, we're actually going to have a featured interview with Steve Loam from Sim Racing GP. I spoke with him a little bit earlier talking about what all Sim Racing GP has been doing and their surge of popularity as they've gone over 20,000 users.
Wow.
Despite only launching a couple weeks ago. So sit tight.
Oh, 20,000 in a couple weeks. That's impressive. We got to hear about that.
I didn't say a couple weeks. I meant a couple months. I said weeks. I meant months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Way to correct yourself there, Williams.
Yeah. We're nothing but professional here on the Simcast. But anyway, going to throw it back to me in the past to talk to Steve. So today I am joined by the CEO of Sim Racing GP, Steve Worrell. Sim Racing GP is a multi-platform tool created to make things easier for sim racers to find leagues and for community organizers to run them. Launched earlier this year as a beta, the site has already crested over 20,000 users. The site has also been promoted by some of the biggest sim racing content creators, including Simcast's own personal white whale, Mr. Jimmy Broadbent. Sim Racing GP will also be the official host of the official TCR esports competition that Matt and Jordan have talked about on the show previously. But without further ado, welcome to the Simcast, Steve. Good to have you.
Hey, very nice to be here.
Yeah, so this is probably going to be a long story, but how and when was Sim Racing GP started? What was the initial idea that came about that got you moving on this kind of wild ride?
Yeah, and it has been a wild ride. That's a great way to characterize it. Mm-hmm. But really, it came from the fact that I have no idea how to set up a server, but I do have skills in marketing and creative production and things like that. And Thomas, who is the developer, and essentially SGP is his brainchild, we came together and realized actually we've got something pretty cool here in that Thomas can do some pretty good back-end development stuff, and I can do some nice front-end design and marketing. And it's like, actually, what we've tried to do is make it easy for people like me who have never touched a server before in their life to set up events. And I've always wanted to do a sim racing league. And that when ACC came along, I was like, I know exactly what I want to do. I want to do an intercontinental sprints is what I called it in my head. And I thought, right, that's cool. That's what I want to do. But like I say, I'd never touched a server before. So I started to investigate how to do all of that. And honestly, if you're not that technical, you're not going to have much of a good time, I think, unless you've got people that can support you with setting up servers and collating entry lists and publishing results and stuff.
Yeah,
it can become a bit of a full-time job, actually.
Running Tora, you know what I mean? I'm familiar with all of that, just because we're primarily a Forza League, so we have no type of server integration or anything, so we've kind of create our own methods of displaying that kind of information.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is it. I think we, we're without giving too much away, I think one day we'd love to be able to support titles like Forza and stuff. But I mean, that's way off in the future. But I think that again, that's an opportunity, isn't it? Where I think if we can provide the tools for people to make it easier to set up races and championships, I think it's worth doing. And that was kind of where we started looking at how we can make Sim Racing GP a viable tool for communities. And I started a league called ACCSS, which was basically the Intercontinental Sprints idea. And I hosted it exclusively on Sim Racing GP. And it just proved that actually what we'd built was pretty good, because it was all the tools in one place, all the server hosting, all the results calculations, the entry list management, everything done in one place. And I never touched a server. So it was at that point that we were like, okay, let's roll this out to the wider public in the form of a closed beta. And the interest was massive. We had support from race department, of course. The closed beta went really well. And then we opened it up to public beta a few months ago, and the response has been really good. We've got over 100 communities on there now. And yeah. Like you mentioned, we actually just ticked over to 21,000 members today.
Okay.
Wow. so it's just going crazy. But obviously, Jimmy's involved as well. It's gone from strength to strength already. But we are literally at the beginning of this, so it's a long journey ahead.
Yeah, I took a poke around your site a little bit ago, and I was looking at all the communities out there, and there's literally ones that have multiple thousands of people involved, and some that have less than 1,000. I think the smallest I saw was like 15 or so.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the beauty of it, right? Mm-hmm. Is that if you've got just a small group of friends and you want to go racing, you can. Mm-hmm. It's the idea is that it's as easy to set up a race for or a championship, even, right? To set up a let's go crazy, a 10 race championship which features races from ACC, AC, and Race Room. You can do it in about 5 minutes. You could get that all set up in about 5 minutes. All the servers, all of the entry lists, it's mm-hmm. totally easy. But the beauty of that, of course, is that if you've got thousands of drivers, it's exactly the same process. So if you can scale your community as much as you want, if you want to keep it close and tight-knit with just your friends, go for it. If you want to do major, huge communities, like Mike from Sim Racing 604, for example, he's got, I think... He calls it the biggest North American sim racing league, which is quite a claim, actually, but it might be right. But, he's doing that. He's got thousands of members on his community. So he's doing like daily racing, I think, now. He does different championships. But it's as simple or as complex as you want it to be, really.
Yeah. So you would say, like, the site is designed for everyone, so... the most hardcore sim racer and the casual guy who just does it on weekends, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's something which we're working on at the moment, which is to make the onboarding experience a lot easier. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, when you log in, you get a list of all the communities, which is great because you can see that there's tons of communities on there. But it doesn't really help you find the right community for you. There's a short description which tells you about what the community offers and whatnot. But actually, what we want to do is we want to make that experience a way better. So you can go on, you can filter by car, game, or time zone, or whatever. So you'll be able to, and skill level eventually as well, you'll be able to find a community that matches your preferences perfectly. So that's what we're sort of working on at the moment. But yeah, it's that, like you say, there's a ton of communities on there, and you can go from the most hardcore of sim racing, so people at RCI, for example, they're sort of elite level racing, but then it could just be you and your mates. So there's something there for everyone.
Yeah. So you said that you got this original idea from the launch of ACC. So is that kind of where the idea from the site was born, or was it a little bit later after that? Like, how long have you been working on this in the background?
So it's been about a year where we've been sort of like properly developing this. Mm-hmm. There was a period before where actually we started with Assetto Corsa. Mm-hmm. But it was, became quite apparent pretty quickly that people wanted to use this for ACC as well. Mm-hmm. So we decided actually something that we can offer here is variety. So we've got AC on there already. Then we've got ACC. And then we decided that we're going to add race room, and we've got Automobilista 2 coming as well. So we've got a platform which really offers variety. It's not just one sim, which is quite cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, the like I say, the idea really came from Thomas, and it wasn't and he won't he won't be mad at me for saying this, but it wasn't a fully formed idea when we first started talking about it, and it was really sort of a look into the future of what sim racing GP might become.
Mm-hmm.
But what we decided to do was actually flip it round and think about how we can provide this tool for the wider community and support communities. So
yeah.
we just shifted our focus to make it a platform for communities to make their lives easier. And yeah, that was where it really started to sort of gain traction.
Okay. Yeah. So you said earlier about how you can have a championship that you can have in a Assetto Corsa, a ACC, and a race room. Is that all one championship? Like, go ahead.
Yeah. If you wanted it to, yeah, you can. I mean, that we have different types of championships that you can create on SGP.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I'm talking about there is called a series. So you basically you can choose the game, you can choose the cars, the track, and everything. But your series might be different games every week. So if you wanted to do, say, let's find out who the quickest sim racer really is, mm-hmm. and that's not just like who's the quickest in AC or the quickest in race room. It's who's the quickest in all of these sims. Then you can do that, and that's the really cool. Best
gamer model.
If you like, yeah. But we've got, obviously, like I say, AMS2 going on there soon, mm-hmm. and there'll be other titles in the future. And you know, I really like the ideas of like I saw one community did it was just Porsches. It was just basically the same Porsche Cup car, but in all the different sims. I was like, that's amazing, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that, or if you wanted to go a bit more rigid and a bit more traditional, you can just do a classic championship where you pick your car, and that's your car for the whole championship, and it's in one game, and that's what it is. So, yeah, it's kind of flexible.
Yeah. So, say, I'm just going to throw a for instance at you.
Yeah.
Say you want to do an endurance championship that it's a couple different endurance races, a la like WEC or Insta style, but the cars change each round. Is that a possibility?
I don't see why not. So let's pick a game. So let's say race room, right? Because you've got those sort of cars in race room.
Yeah.
You could say, right, we're having a championship, and round one is LMP1 cars at Nürburgring, and then round two is GTE cars at Silverstone. You can do that sort of thing, right? So you can change it up like that. We've even had requests from some communities actually that they want like a randomizer where you don't know what you're going to get each week, and I kind of like that as like a as an idea. So
yeah,
so we want to make it as flexible as possible, really.
That just sounds like a recipe for salt.
Yeah, you know, right?
Yeah,
I bet it's one of those where if people, you know, it's actually a few people have asked for it, so it's kind of like we got to kind of take it seriously. And if people want it and it turns out that it's you know, people like it, then you know, it's up to them how they manage the salt.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Like, I know my tour community pretty well. I can't imagine if we instigated a random like car selection, what that would like. That would just, so much salt would happen.
Yeah, well, I tried to do something similar with my community once, which was I didn't announce the track until 24 hours before the race. People hated it.
Oh, man.
I know, yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. People hated it. They were like, yeah, how dare you do that? So that got binned off pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I can imagine, you know, for if you've got a community that just does, like, GT3 racing in ACC, yeah, that maybe, like, one night a week they just have, like, a fun, random event. I can see that being quite cool. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. So, of all the leagues that are on Sim Racing GP, do you have, like, your favorites to race in besides your own? Or, like, some others that you think our listeners should check out if they want to get involved with something like this?
Well, you assume that I've got time to race, which is quite funny. But when I do race, I've got a special space in my heart for ACCSS because, like I say, I founded that community. Mm-hmm. And as things got more, like as we got busier with Sim Racing GP, I had to hand that over to a good friend of mine called Dan. And he's done a fantastic job with that. I haven't had a chance to race with them for a while, but mm-hmm. the premise of that community is, and I'm not sure if they still do it, but originally it was, if you're too fast, you get banned, because it was meant to be for slow mid-pack runners and newcomers to sim racing. So if you won the overall championship, the top three drivers would get banned, which is kind of cool. So you always get that sort of cycle through of like new winners. Yeah. Which, I'd definitely say ACCSS are a good one for ACC. Also on ACC, we've got Pit Crew, who do amazing things. So Pit Crew do like ranked racing, mm-hmm. Using Sim Racing GP. So they've got their own website. You sign up on their website. They've got a ranking system. You can go in there and do daily ranked races, which is pretty cool. So, you know, there's communities out there on like all over the internet, which, you know, do like sort of daily races and stuff. I don't think people really realize on Sim Racing GP is that you can run that sort of community on Sim Racing GP if you wanted. So
yeah,
it's if you've got an idea for a community, you can pretty much do it on SGP. Race Room, I would definitely say Track are a good one if you like Race Room. And by the way, if you haven't tried the new Race Room update, it's amazing.
Yeah. I did test drive it a couple weeks ago. It felt much more natural to me than what it had previously.
So much better, isn't it? And I love Race Room anyway. But since the update, I've really not driven anything else. I've just been going on a Race Room binge. So Track are a good one for Race Room. Obviously, if you're North American, like I say, Sim Racing 604 is a great community. Mike and the guys there doing an absolutely amazing job of managing all of that. So there's literally something in there for everyone. There's even a community called Skip Barber Daily, where it's just a Skip Barber race every day. And
yeah, I did see that one.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the guy's like going through his final exams at uni at the moment, so it's on pause. But mm-hmm. when it goes back up, it's daily races on Skip Barber, and there's like points and stuff, and yeah, it's brilliant. It's really good.
Yeah. So when you were developing this, did you expect it to take off as much as it did, or did you hope it would, or was it like, wait, what happened?
Yeah, basically exactly that. So we were really hopeful that we might hit 20,000 members by the end of the year, mm-hmm. but we hit it in June, which is just bonkers, really. We had no idea that it would have gone like so crazy so quickly.
Yeah.
Obviously, you may or may not have seen the that when Jimmy tried to get on the first time.
Yeah. I made the mistake of trying to check out the website at the same time. So it was like, oh.
Yeah, it was. We just weren't expecting that sort of like number of people to do it. We had 100. I think it was like 110,000 login attempts during that live stream. That's not. Wow. 110,000 people. That's like, I think it came out around sort of like 17,000 people or unique users were trying to log in over and over again, mm-hmm. and we just weren't prepared for it, and we hold our hands up and say yeah, we weren't quite prepared for that, and it went down. But it was kind of a blessing in disguise, because you know what Jimmy's like, he can turn even the most like depressing and boring things into quite entertaining viewing. So
oh, yeah.
it was quite good. And and then when he tried again, we got another surge, but we beefed up all the servers and everything and made sure that the database was prepared for it. And yeah. And that we got big boosts off of that, of course. And you know, Jimmy's been really valuable in the feedback that he's providing and his community are providing. So yeah, it's he's been a massive help. Obviously, race department of the initial like burst of people that came onto the platform through race department, and so yeah, I think from both those sides, we've got quite a few users through those channels. But honestly, we never thought we'd be at 20,000 already. This is honestly a bit crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely we did cover your guys' initial launch on the show, and I definitely did call out the fact that you guys had a special message on the website saying, thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah, I put that up pretty quickly. I was like, what do I do? Is this a good thing or a bad thing? I was like, no, let's just embrace it. Let's go for it. Like, I think that's what, like, you know, Jimmy would do something similar as well.
Having too many users to know what to do with is always a good thing in my mind.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
Like,
I think it's transpired into, like, you know, quite a loyal fan base or user base, I should say, which is good.
Yeah, I've had my own experience with crashing websites.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we use a forum because we're trying to kind of, like, for Tor, we're trying to build our own system for this. But when we had our 24 hours of Le Mans a couple months ago, we literally crashed the entire forum because we had people trying to sign up because the nature of Forza, we have car caps in place. So people were like spamming the sign in, the sign up button so they can get the car that they wanted for the race.
Yeah. People
are crazy. Yeah. So do you think that, you've definitely taken advantage of the sim racing boom. Do you think that we're going to continue to see sim racing be as popular as it is? Just, this is a question I always ask our guests that have been coming on the show as of late, just because, you know, our show is now weekly because of sim racing boom. So, do you think that it's going to continue, or do you think that we're pretty much like just kind of getting to the apex of sim racing's popularity, and now that everyone's basically back racing again, it's going to go downhill from here?
Yeah, it's a, do you know what? I was asked that question earlier today by someone, and my answer was I don't know. Mm-hmm. Because obviously COVID was massive for sim racing. Yeah. And with everyone being at home and not being able to get out onto real tracks and stuff, you know, a lot of people from real world motorsport you know, got involved with virtual racing. And I think that's, you know, when you think about the market size for people that are just interested in motorsport, it's about 500 million people globally, which is just an insane number. And I have to take my hat off to Fanatec, who have understood that early, and they're targeting real world motorsports. You obviously see the stuff that they're doing with SRO.
Yeah.
They sponsor F1 esports. I don't think it will be long before we see some sort of visibility of Fanatec in real world F1. Mm-hmm. So it's I think they've done an absolutely amazing job of identifying that actually the audience is massive. I don't speak for everyone, but mm-hmm. the majority of people that I speak to, they're very much in the same sort of mold, in that they're motorsport people first and not gamers.
Yeah.
So if it's like, you know, they find their way into sim racing through motorsport. Like me, for example, I have about 7 games on my PC.
Yep.
They're all racing sims.
Same here.
Like, I don't have anything else, right? So it's like, okay, so we're motorsport people first. And then actually what you're seeing, I think, is the credibility in sim racing has gone through the roof. I think people really see the term that Jimmy coined, the, you know, the racing, the cars are virtual, but the racing's real or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, that's so true. It's, you know what it's like, you know, when you're bumper to bumper, a couple of hundred miles an hour in like a Formula One car on AC or something, it's like you're really concentrating.
Yeah.
And the inputs that you put into the steering wheels and the pedals and stuff, it's so accurate, or at least it feels accurate. And all of my friends that and I've got like football friends who are like yobs, so sim racing's always been my nerdy hobby, which I kind of always kept a little bit quiet. Mm-hmm. Until the last couple of years. Now everyone's interested in what I've got in my garage and my sim rig, and they want to come and try it out, and it's suddenly a cool thing.
Yeah.
And the guys who do like motorsport, their minds are blown when they get on the rig and they try it. They're like, oh my god, this feels good. And then you can start to see them trying to take away a tenth off each lap time, and then before you know it, they're addicted and they've got their own rigs. So
yep. Well, honestly, welcome to the hobby. We're sorry for your wallet.
Yeah, exactly. Good, gave you the bug, right? And it's so in that respect, I I don't think we will see that sort of like sudden growth that we got with COVID again.
Yeah.
But I think it's just going to incrementally grow. I mean, just today I noticed that race department have, if you go to the, is it the bottom of race department's page? I can't remember where I saw it now, but they've got, they went through 1.8 million members today, which is just bonkers.
Yeah.
It's like, that is absolutely an insane number. So, I think it's going to grow slower, but I don't think we've seen the end of it yet. Sorry, that was a really long answer to quite a simple question.
Long answers are good. Yeah, definitely here amongst us here at the Simcast, it's very much motorsport first, sim racing second. We're all motorsports, and that's that. Turned to Forza because we didn't really have the money for like really advanced PCs and things like that to be able to get that motorsport fix. We went to Forza, and the rest, as you can say, it's kind of history.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man. I think people they find the cars desirable, right? And for most people, it's not achievable to get onto a track with these cars. Some people are lucky enough that they get to do it. Some people are lucky enough that they get to get onto a track even with a lower powered car or a cheaper car. Mm-hmm. But for most of us, it's actually the sim rig is as close as we're going to get, and it's either PC or a console or whatever. It's our chance to drive the cars that we love to see on track. And like we've already said, that when you're racing and it's competitive, it doesn't matter if it's virtual or real, the racing's racing.
Yeah. All right. So as we're kind of wrapping up the interview, what are your future plans for Sim Racing GP? You've mentioned AMS2 coming on board. Race Room is obviously coming up. What do you think is next?
Yeah. We've got some really interesting partnerships in the works, which are going to transform the way that that we do things on Sim Racing GP in terms of the way that we present ourselves publicly. I think that's going to be a big thing. And also, it's going to help us develop the platform in a way that I think people want it to move. So we're currently heading into a phase which we're calling sophistication is the name that we're calling it, and we're adding like a ton of little things that people have been asking for, because we've been deep into finding ways to get teams racing onto Sim Racing GP. This is the other thing which, just quickly, the other thing which I suppose people don't really see is that because we offer variety on the platform with the different games and stuff, we have to build things with a view on all of the games.
Yep.
So if we're adding multi-class racing, what does that look like for ACC and Race Room? If we're adding teams, what does that look like for all the sims? So we have to do a lot more work, but it's definitely worth it because
Everything you just mentioned is kind of completely differently on all three of those sims.
Yeah, exactly, right? So it's we do have a lot more work to do to get this stuff in, but like I say, I think it's worth it. I think having the variety on the platform is definitely a winner. But as for the future, you're right, AMS2, that's no secret, that's coming onto the platform soon. And that's obviously got a lot better actually in recent months, and I've really enjoyed playing that. I think they've got a really accessible like sim racing simulation there. Actually, I think they've got a really good game. So, adding more variety to the platform, adding more sophistication to the platform. We've got some partnerships hopefully that are coming in place, which are going to add even more variety to the platform. Mm-hmm. And it's all really just about trying to sort of facilitate as many different communities as possible. We've also got some really cool single player online features coming as well, which will mean it will be easier to put people into splits and find races that are people at your skill level. That's going to be coming soon as well. So if you're not part of a community, you're going to be able to find races provided by SGP where you can literally turn up and race with people at your skill level across multiple sims. So we're really busy. We're really working hard on
busy.
This. Very good busy. So I can only hope that it's the latest update that we've got coming is gonna make people really happy.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show again, Steve, and kind of talking about Sim Racing GP. And maybe we can have you on the show again and talk about some more future updates as they come out.
I'd absolutely love it. And I'd also extend the invitation to you guys to come race with us. So, you know, if you ever want to do anything.
Yeah, Matt and Jordan are very interested in the TCR esports series.
Cool. Yeah, well, there's some cool stuff coming out about that very soon, actually. So, yeah, I'll update you when that comes through.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show again, and I'll send it back to me and Lewis. Thanks again to Steve for agreeing to be on tonight's show. Make sure you can follow them on their Twitter page, which I had it written down, and then I lost it.
How dare you?
Yeah, if you just look up Sim Racing, simracing.gp, you'll be able to find them pretty quickly. That is literally their Twitter handle minus the dot. So Sim Racing GP, you can get all the updates whenever they launch them. And be sure to go onto their site and look at all the communities, just because when I was talking to Steve, he couldn't think of a bunch of them off the top of his head, just because there are so many. So you can create a free user account on the site, attach it to your Steam profile if you have one of those, which if you are playing the games that are featured on their site, you probably already have a Steam account. You kind of need one. So you can attach it to your Steam account, and then you can look to see all the wide variety of leagues that they have on that platform. It's very nice. Cool. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Being able to, just because of my limited experience with hosting servers, like dedicated servers, things like that, having all that stuff in one place will be extremely helpful for communities.
No doubt.
All right. Moving on with the rest of tonight's program. Now we got only about 30 minutes or so. We do have a couple pieces of sim racing news to talk about. First one being iRacing. So as Matt and Jordan talked about last week, iRacing has been officially announced as the simulator partner of NASCAR. We're going to be using the iRacing services to more or less test some changes they don't want to make and to like tracks and cars and things like that. We're already kind of beginning to see some of the fruits of this labor. As it was announced earlier this week that following the race on Sunday at Atlanta Motor Speedway, that the effectively this speedway will be ripped up and replaced before 2022 after research was conducted on iRacing to see what the new track would be like.
I was going to say, so what did they do? Recreate what they had an idea of on iRacing and they're going to build it for real now? Is that effectively what I'm understanding what you said there?
In their press release, they said, following 10 months of confidential research, development, testing, and simulation with engineers and iRacing, the reprofile of Atlanta Motor Speedway will increase the current 24-degree banking in Atlanta's turns to 28 degrees, which is higher than any other intermediate track on the current NASCAR circuit. Straightaway banking will remain 5 degrees, and in addition to the new high banks, the racing surface will become narrower with an overall decrease in width from 55 feet to 40 feet. New widths.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. New widths will be 52 feet on the front straight, 42 feet on the back straight, and 40 feet in the turns.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely a interesting new direction they're going with that track.
Yeah, and reading the press release, I guess they're trying to match or go from a regular speedway to a super speedway, and they're looking to get similar speeds to what they have at Daytona and Talladega, which, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you have three tracks on the schedule that are already the exact same shape with Atlanta, Texas, and Charlotte, which they did one of the Charlotte races as a roval, which I think was a good idea. And then now they got the Atlanta races that are going to be a slightly different configuration, albeit it is probably going to stay the same shape, I would imagine.
Yeah, I believe it's just they're changing the angle of the corners and a general resurface of the track, which I'm not a huge NASCAR follower, so I wouldn't know this, but apparently a resurface in Atlanta is long overdue.
Yeah, I don't think they've resurfaced it since they reconfigured it back in the early late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was back whenever what is currently the back straightaway was the old front straightaway.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting to see how this partnership between iRacing and NASCAR is going to continue in the future. I believe they're also working on basically redesigning Auto Club Speedway as well. So, very interesting.
Which Auto Club, that's California, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was supposed to be the West Coast, Michigan.
Yeah. Well.
Which it effectively is.
Yeah. Yeah. It just kind of goes to, I think, show that things like iRacing, where, yes, teams have used simulators in the past, but many of them don't use, like, the same kind of consumer grade simulators that the rest of us use. So Freudian slip there. NASCAR partnering with iRacing is kind of a clear indication that they feel that the consumer product is well enough, and I'm sure they're probably using some different type of build whenever doing these testing of new ideas and things like that. But they still consider the consumer product solid enough to continue on, or like to initiate, I guess I should say, this partnership with being their new simulator partner.
Mm.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely really interesting, and we'll probably be following this story more in the future. Moving right along, AMS2. We talk a lot about Automobilista 2 on the show, and particularly, we talked a lot about the Racing USA DLC, which was released last month. We do have a bit of a more of an update from the developers to what July is going to look like. Kind of the main highlights is that they're going to be further developing their real weather and dynamic live track presets, with some improvements to the system and multiplayer support, hopefully integrated in the update, I believe is this weekend, or was last week. It was last weekend, excuse me. Other things that they're going to be working on is that they continue to work on the seasonal foliage to the remaining tracks, with Hockenheim getting the special treatment this past weekend, along with its, you know, historical variations. Because it's AMS2 and they have a lot of variations of historic tracks, which is always fun. Having the seasonal foliage thing is just adds that just a little sprinkle of immersion that I like. They continue to work on their physics, on their AI, and especially on the UI and HD development. They're working really hard to tidy up some of the remaining issues with their custom championship tool and adding a couple more options to make it easier for people to host custom championships and things like that. But kind of the big piece of news that comes with this is that for free, everyone will have the opportunity to get their hands on the 1974 Porsche 911 Carrera RSR. I figured that the Porsche fan would have more of a comment on that. Lewis, did I lose you?
Here I am.
There you are.
I completely lost signal there for my headset there very briefly. It was plugged in. I didn't hear you for a little bit, and then all of a sudden it's coming back in. So what was that last little bit you had there?
what was the last thing you heard?
About midway through that.
Okay.
I'm guessing it was about midway through that.
Yeah, the big piece of news with that is that everyone will be receiving a free Porsche 911 Carrera RSR from 1974. Good.
Dream car.
Huh?
Dream car.
I thought I lost you for a second there, but no.
No, I had
you
a very
lost
distinct
the ability to speak.
Yeah, that was a very deep gasp and like, oh my god. I don't know if any new listeners out there who do not know me, my absolute favorite sound in the world is a 73 or 74 RSR downshifting. And if somebody's driving it right and you hear the engine rev, so they're doing the heel-toe movement, and that engine note just magnifies. That my absolute favorite sound in the world.
Yeah. It looks like AMS2 is going to be ramping up their classic content, that this car will be free for all initial entry into the 1970s GT racing. So we might end up with some interesting cars coming up in the future.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they do the full IMSA thing better than what Forza did. Forza kind of did a smorgasbord throughout the 70s. But, I mean, a Decon Monza versus a 935, that's a battle that's right up there.
Mm-hmm. I figure we'll probably get a Greenwood Corvette before this is all said and done.
Oh, yeah. You definitely need that.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll be passed by Volkswagen Beetles in the infield at Daytona, but as soon as you get on that baking, look out.
Yeah. Probably the 3.0 CSL BMW. Yeah. There's many, many cars that can add to that. So,
excellent.
Yes. We'll be on the lookout for more AMS updates in the future. I need to go drive the car as soon as we're done.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Moving on. Announced earlier, yesterday, actually, WRC10 has announced an anniversary edition coming for their game, which comes out September 2nd, if I remember correctly. An anniversary edition that will feature content focused around Sebastian Loeb, including his victories in Germany in 2002, Sweden in 2004, and Spain in 2018. Wow. Of course, including his relevant cars from that time period as well. We actually don't have much information on what's going to be included in that, apart from apart from their trailer showing off his Citroens, and that's really it, really. They did mention that if you pre-order WRC10, now you'll receive the Subaru Impreza WRC 1997 car as Ooh. Well.
Excellent. That's a pro drive days there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so WRC10 is definitely focusing on some pretty good classic content, which, as I believe Matt was the one that tweeted about it from the Simcast account. Maybe F1 should take some notes from that. Which, small tangent, reminder that F1 is actually going to be coming out next Friday.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
That is the first I'm hearing about it on a release date, to be honest.
We talked about it briefly.
Did we?
Yeah, when it was first announced.
Okay, yeah, I'm vaguely remembering that, but yeah. Still, it's just been very quiet now. I haven't seen any advertisements for it releasing soon or anything.
Next Friday, as in July 16th.
Wow.
I just wanted to make sure I had the date correct. So, obviously, Jordan has been playing through some of the beta stuff that he had a chance to get access to that he can't tell us about because, you know, scary lawyers and things like that. But he's probably going to provide some type of review for the next time we have a show. But, you know, I haven't completely written off the possibility of getting F1 2021 myself. So, we'll see.
Well, I look forward to hearing everybody's reviews about it. Unless somebody wants to buy me a copy, I'm not getting it.
You know, EA Codemasters or whomever is in charge now, we will do reviews if you want to send us review copies.
And if you want me to spend my own money on that, go ahead and give me my refund back that I'm owed. Calling you out.
Yeah. Earlier this week, I had an opportunity, because I actually had a quiet afternoon for once. To see Jimmy Robin kind of like show off the first two chapters of the Breaking Point.
Okay.
That's the story mode that's going to be in the new F1 2021 game. But for the life of me, I was watching it, and the only thing I was thinking was, this looks like a Need for Speed game.
Which, EA?
Yeah. Well, as much as it looked like a Need for Speed game, it also sounded like Need for Speed dialogue.
No, don't tell me they brought over their writers.
I don't know. It just seems...
I'm sorry, but, I mean...
I mean, I'm all for story-based progression, if you do it right.
Which, in the history of video games, I think it's only been done right back whenever Codemasters did the Toka Race Driver series.
Yeah, pretty much. It just feels semi-melodramatic. There's an obvious, very obvious, like, bad guy who's there just to make you feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, which, I mean...
Because he's threatened by your talent, I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird how they do that. I mean, I don't understand why they keep... It's effectively the same thing, because the last two games that they've done that, where they have you come up through the GP2 ranks, they've done the same thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's the obvious bad guy who's very arrogant and thinks he's better than you, and he's just angry that you're better than him, so he... You know, it's like, really? Why can't it just start off as, like, something friendly, and then, you know, an accident happens, and he still blames you, and then it just feuds off of that. Whatever happened to something like that? Because that does happen in real life.
Yeah.
I mean, shake it up a little.
Yeah, we're also talking about a storyline that supposedly takes place during the 2020 season, where COVID just magically doesn't exist.
Oh. Well, then.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. I'll just leave that as a final thought for that.
In the virtual world, diseases do not exist.
Apparently.
Well, viruses do, but that's computer viruses. But for funsies, no, they don't exist.
Yeah. But anyway. Lewis.
Yes?
You are a fan of R-Factor 2, are you not?
Yes.
He says, completely ignoring the fact that he didn't have a really good transition for this.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. You've driven the Formula Pro, have you not?
I have.
Would you like to speak about it for the next 5 minutes or so?
I could probably try to milk it for 5 minutes. I actually took it around Monza that they just released as well. I've been used to the unofficial version of it for the longest time, but getting into an official one, I'll go through the track first, actually, because this is just what I happen to notice. You get a lot of nuanced bumps that are there on the official version that you don't experience on the unofficial one, which, don't get me wrong, the unofficial one I'd had was a beautiful rendering, and it simulated the track quite well. But the official one, you got these little tiny, tiny bumps that you experience going through a Ascari chicane or going through the Parabolica that weren't there before that unsettled the car. So it makes those corners a little bit more difficult than just slamming on the brakes and whipping through it and then you're gone. I mean, Monza's a very fast track, but you don't realize how rough it really is. And I think the guys over at Studio 397 did a great job of recreating that. And then taking the Formula Pro out there, which completely new car to me, not entirely completely a new track, but new surface of a known track. Getting behind the wheel of it, I mean, it's absolutely massive, wide car. I mean, you could sit in the cockpit of the LMP2 car, you could still see the edges of the fender. You get into the Formula Pro car, you don't even see maybe just past the halfway point of the tires on each side.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very wide car. But I also found it to be incredibly balanced, even though they said that they created the car to be harder to drive, because they make it where it was a lot more aggressive. But I found that the contact patch for the tires that they put on there creates a ton of grip. Also has a ton of downforce. And so, I mean, I was trying to wring this thing neck. I was trying to get it sideways, and I found it very difficult to get it sideways with a stock tune myself. It was very planted, very fun to drive. I will say that. It's by planted, I don't mean it's like the perfect car, kind of like what I described a few months ago when the C8R came out. I think they made the car a little bit too perfect where, I mean, it's great for the first couple laps, and then whenever you get beyond the first couple laps, it's just like, this car is just too good.
Yeah.
It's not fun anymore. You know, you can't get it sideways. It does everything that you want it to do, which, in theory, that's what you want, but whenever you finally achieve it, it's just like, bleh. You know? But this thing, it was fun in the aspect that you found ways to go deeper into the corner. You found that you can go faster through the corner. You're able to pick up the throttle way earlier in the corner. So I think it was more along the lines of learning a new style to drive. So maybe once I get used to it, I might find it a little bit boring because it does become with a perfect car again. That might be why I'm having a lot more fun with it. And the other thing about it is that it's incredibly fast. And the sound that it produces, I don't remember what they spec'd for it, whether it's supposed to be a V10 or a V8, but the sound of it, I mean, you're sitting behind the wheel of it, and it sounds like you're driving an early 90s F1 car. Then you go to the replay mode, and you hear the car go blasting by, and it sounds like a V10, just a screaming V10 like F1 cars used to. And it was just wonderful. And I was just like, this is what F1 needs to be, because they made the car to where it actually rivals F1 lap times.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be a little bit slower, but not much, not noticeable. And it is just, it sounds great. It looks great. It handles great. I just kind of wish they had more shapes of it. That way you can kind of do a makeshift F1 grid to modern days and, or modern day liveries on it. And then go racing with it. So, I mean, it's just, to me, it's what F1 should be now.
According to the R-Factor 2 store, it is a V10.
Okay, there we go. So that explains why it sounds like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is just, even if you're not that great of a driver, and you do have a hard time with these types of simulators where you get sideways and you spin out too much, just listening to the car idle, and you could just sit there and just meditate.
Yeah.
Or if you want, just put a whole bunch of AI guys out there and just watch them go around and just be entertained by that and just listen to the sound. It is spectacular. You could just lay back and just enjoy it. It is wonderful.
Speaking of the Steam store, I hope everyone was able to take opportunity to take advantage of the Steam summer sale, because there were a rigorous amount of like DLC and other things like that were discounted. Unfortunately, it's over by now, unfortunately, but hope everyone was able to take advantage of that.
Oh yeah, you can get almost every endurance car that they have in game. You can get every one of them for, I think it was $30, the whole pack was
something like that. I was just looking at the
that did not include GT3s. That was the GTEs and the P2 and the DPI.
You can get all 13 GT3s for $20.
Yeah, so that's a heck of a deal considering each car is about $5.
Yeah. Yeah, if I was on R Factor 2 a lot more, I would do that, but I'm not, so I shout.
I was on R Factor 2 just before we did this show, and I'm going to be on R Factor 2 again after the show.
Anyway, as we come up to the last dying minutes of tonight's program, we're going to go ahead and do our esports roundup of the week.
Yay!
Yep. Just a reminder that the TASCAR Forza series presented by us here at the Simcast starts this Saturday with a night race at the Daytona Oval. We will be doing our typical race reports here each week. So be sure to tune into this part of the show to hear about the series as it progresses. It is a Forza series, just making sure everyone understands that, just because we've done a couple TASCAR events on iRacing. This one is a Forza week. We've actually had a fair number of classic TaskCar drivers sign up to be competing this year, including some guy named Jordan Groves, who, in my notes, has written the words, ahem, former champion, which he is. So, be sure to be on the lookout for those race reports from TaskCar coming up. Remember,
man, arrogance on that guy.
I know. Remember, you gotta sign in if you want to race. Anyway, so a bit of an update: the NASCAR Pro Invitational Series that we've been talking about a lot in this show. As you may remember, a couple weeks ago, after the Chicago Street Circuit race, there was a little confusion over whether or not that would be the end of the series, or we would expect another half of it later this year. Unfortunately, though, NASCAR has confirmed that the Pro Invitational Series will not be turning for the rest of the year, despite there having been 5 races scheduled to take place on NBC Sports later this year. And as for now, the reason for this has not been said, but our guess here at Simcast is that the ratings were pretty low just because of the quote-unquote, what Jordan called, boring nature of the series. I've also seen some other sites cite that people had lost interest in it just because we're back racing full time now, basically. So, who knows? All the other NASCAR series, including the NASCAR iRacing International Series that Lewis is going to talk about now, is still set to continue, but the Pro Invitational Series is unfortunately done. So, Louis, the NASCAR iRacing International Series.
Yes, round 2 of the series took place last Wednesday night at COTA, or Circuit of the Americas, if we want to do the long version of it. Peak Mexico Series driver Agustin Canapino would take pole position, and all but one driver, the unfortunate Calderon, would survive turn 1. Wow. From there, as we saw in round 1, the leader would streak away. Canapino would go on to take victory by almost 18 seconds, with second place Lionel Perena finishing a further 30 seconds ahead of third place Victor Barrales Jr. Brands Hatch winner Simon Pilati of the Whelen Euro Series would take fifth. Justin Campbell would be the highest finishing NASCAR Drive for Diversity driver in eighth, with Trenton Lepsovich again finishing as the highest placed NASCAR Pinty Series driver in ninth place. Like Brands Hatch, not a particularly exciting race. Again, bit of a long race for a field of such varying skill levels, especially with no cautions. The NASCAR iRacing International Series will conclude with its third and final round at the Daytona Road Course. That race will have taken place on Wednesday, so last night, and it will be on next week's show.
Yes. Jordan's very selfish in that regard.
But it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Anyway, that about does it for another episode of the Simcast.
It was a quick one this week.
Yeah,
Fun show.
Yeah, very quick for you, maybe, but I basically talked the entire show just through.
Yeah, but we went to Ben in the past.
We went to Ben in the past, that is true. There was some DeLorean action happening here.
Yeah, I kind of have like a Wayne's World thing where you wave your fingers on either side of your head and just go. Diddle, 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 diddle.
Actually, random thought, since I brought up the DeLorean, I didn't remember this, but apparently the local car museum near me in Hershey actually has 2 of the prototype DeLoreans on display right now.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll post it.
Is one of them chocolate?
No.
See what I did there, because you said it was in Hershey.
Anyway.
Hershey, Pennsylvania, where the street lamps look like chocolate kisses.
I cannot confirm or deny.
No, it does. They did a Discovery Channel special on it.
Yeah, well, I'm